Chapter 4. Like a lass in young eyed prime, could she tell some tale of Lodi at that moving mighty time? So, I asked the wives of Lodi for traditions of that day, but alas, not anybody seems to know of such a fray. And they heed, but transitory marketings in cheese and meat, till I judge that Lodi's story is extinct in Lodi Street. Yet while here and there they thrid them in their zest to sell and buy, let me sit me down amid them, and behold those thousands die. Not a creature cares in Lodi, how Napoleon swept each arch, or where up and downward trod he, or for his memorial march. So that wherefore should I be here, watching at a lip the lee, when the whole romance to see here is the dream I bring with me? And why sing the bridge of Lodi as I sit thereon and swing, when none shows by smile or naughty guesses, why or what I sing? Since all Lodi, low and head ones, seem to pass that story by, it may be the lot I bred ones rated truly, and not I, once engrossing bridge of Lodi, is thy claim to glory gone? Must I pipe a palinity, or be silent thereupon? And if here, from strand to steeple, be no stone to fame the fight, must I say the lot I people are but viewing crime aright? Nay, I'll sing the bridge of Lodi that long loved, romantic thing, though none show by smile or naughty guesses, why and what I sing. On an invitation to the United States, my ardors for emprise nigh lost since life has bared its bones to me, I shrink to seek a modern coast whose riper times have yet to be, where the new regions claim them free from that long drip of human tears which peoples old in tragedy have left upon the centuried years. 2-4, wanting in these ancient lands, enchased and lettered as a tomb, and scored with prints of perished hands, and chronicled with dates of doom, though my own being bear no bloom I trace the lives such scenes enshrine, give past exemplars present room, and their experience count as mine. The mother mourns, when mid-autumn's moan shook the night-time, and sedges were horny, and summer's green wonderwork faltered on leas and in lane, I fared Yelham Fir's way, where dimly came wheeling around me those phantoms obscure and insistent that shadows unchain. Till airs from the needle fixed brought me a low lamentation, as twere of a tree god disheartened, perplexed, or in pain. And, heeding, it awed me to gather that nature herself there was breathing in airy accents, with dirgeful refrain. Weary plaint that mankind, in these late days, had grieved her by holding her ancient high fame of perfection in doubt and disdain. Had not proposed me a creature she sowed, so excelling all else of my kingdom in compass and brightness of brain, as to read my defects with a god glance, uncover each vestige of old inadvertence, enunciate each flaw and each stain. My purpose went not to develop such insight in earthland. Such potent appraisements affront me, and sadden my reign. Why loosened I old in control here to mechanize skywards, undeeming great scope could outshape in a globe of such grain? Man's mountings of mind sight I check not, till range of his vision has topped my intent, and found blemish throughout my domain. He holds as inept his own soul shell my deftest achievement, contumes me for fitful inventions ill-timed and inan. No more sees my sun as a sank shape, my moon as the night queen, my stars as august and sublime ones that influences rain. Reckons gross and ignoble my teaching, immoral my story, my love lights a lure, that my species may gather and gain. Give me, apostrophe he has said, but the matter and means the gods lauder, my brain could evolve a creation more seemly, more sane. If ever a naughtiness seized me to woo adulation from creatures more keen than those crude ones that first formed my train, if inly a moment I murmured the simple praise sweetly, but sweetlier the sage, and did rashly man's vision unrein, I rue it. As guileless forerunners, whose brains I could blandish, to measure the deeps of my mysteries applied them in vain. From them my waste aimings and futile I subtly could cover, every best thing, apostrophe said they, to best purpose her powers preordain. apostrophe apostrophe, no more such. Dot dot dot, my species are dwindling, my forests grow barren, my popinjays fail from their tappings, my larks from their strain. My leoparded beauties are rarer, my tusky ones vanish, my children evape mine own slaughters to quicken my wane. Let me grow, then, but mildews and mandrakes, and slimy distortions, let nevermore things good and lovely to me appertain. For reason is rank in my temples, and vision unruly, and chivalrous laud of my cunning is heard not again. I said to love, it is not now as in old days when men adore thee, and thy ways all else above. Name thee the boy, the bright, the one who spread a heaven beneath the sun, I said to love. I said to him, we now know more of thee than then. We were but weak in judgment when, with hearts abrim, we clamored thee, that thou wouldst please inflict on us thine agonies, I said to him. I said to love, thou art not young, thou art not fair, no fiery darts, no cherub air, nor swan, nor dove are thine, but features pitiless, and iron daggers of distress, I said to love. Effort then, love. Dot dot dot, man's race shall end, dost threaten thou? The age to come the man of now know nothing of? We fear not such a threat from thee, we are too old in apathy, mankind shall cease. So let it be, I said to love. A commonplace day, the day is turning ghost, and scuttles from the calendar in fits and furtively, to join the anonymous host of those that throng oblivion, ceding his place, maybe, to one of like degree. I part the fire-gnawed logs, rake forth the embers, spoil the busy flames, and lay the ends upon the shining dogs, further and further from the nooks the twilight's stride extends. And beamless black impends. Nothing of tiniest worth have I wrought, pondered, planned, no one thing asking blame or praise, since the pale corpse-like birth of this diurnal unit, bearing blanks in all its rays dullest of dull-hued days. Wanly upon the panes the rain slides as of slits in smorn my colorless thoughts, and, yet here, while day's presence wanes, and over him the sepulchre lid is slowly lowered and set, he wakens my regret. Regret though nothing dear, that I wot of, was toward in the wide world at his prime, or bloomed elsewhere than here, to die with his decease, and leave a memory sweet, sublime, or mark him out in time. Dot dot, yet, maybe, in some soul, in some spot undiscerned on sea or land, some impulse rose, or some intent upstole of that enkindling ardency from whose maturer glows the world's amendment flows. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.